Well, welcome to Tech Can't Save Us podcast by Literal Humans. This is a Tech for Good podcast brought to you by a creative agency that we've started recently this year called Literal Humans. We focus on content marketing for Tech for Good organizations, B2B SaaS, and mission-driven brands. Carmela, welcome. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Where are you calling in from?
I am in Honolulu, Hawaii, which I feel like I have to say with a caveat of like, I'm super lucky to be here and not in the cold and in the snow.
Yeah. The East Coast just got walloped, so I guess you got to avoid that.
Yeah, over 2 feet of snow.
And you've been in Hawaii since pretty much the start of pandemic lockdowns and stuff?
Yeah. Actually, I hit a year mark last week. It's been a year since I've been on a plane, a year since I've been out of this 6 mile radius within like my apartment. So it's definitely different, but I mean, I love it.
Yeah, totally. Well, you got a good gig as you know, compared to some other folks in lockdown. Well, cool. Well, first things first, let's get you introduced. So like, tell us, you know, your where you work, your background, just give, you know, our listeners a lowdown on all things Carmela.
A lowdown on all things Carmela. That's great. So I run Flight, and Flight is an organization, a nonprofit that empowers youth through travel. And we work with students from underserved communities across the country and send them abroad for the first time. For a lot of our kids, it's their first time on a plane, their first time out of the country. And so for a lot of them, it really essentially blows their minds and just shifts their perspective on things that are possible and makes the world a more connected and better place, which I think we all need right now.
Totally. And FLIGHT is actually like an acronym, right?
It's the Foundation for Learning and Youth Travel Education.
Nice. Okay. And full disclosure, everyone, I'm a FLIGHT board member. I have been for a few years now, so I'm a huge biased advocate for FLIGHT and youth travel. So yeah, and we're grateful that you joined us. So thank you.
Thankful for you and all the things that you do for FLIGHT.
Yeah. I mean, travel has just like completely changed my life. Obviously I'm living abroad right now. I've just taken so many amazing trips, learned so much about the world and myself and other people. It's, yeah. So absolute pleasure to try and pass that forward. So let's dig in and let's talk about youth travel. Let's talk about tech and tech for good and tech for not so good. Obviously, the title of this podcast is like a provocative statement. We're suggesting that we can't all be saved by tech. It's a brave going out on a limb. Tell us how FLIGHT as an organization uses tech and leverages tech in the work that you do.
So I think there's two ways that I could think of how we use tech. I think first, and I think most importantly, is that we use it as a way to form deeper connections for our students. And by that, I mean, when we go abroad, we want our students to have, you know, not the quote unquote tourist experience, but we want them to really connect with local people, see how life is in whatever country they're visiting abroad. And so that being said, I mean, tech in terms of like the internet and connectivity and social media has been able to connect us with really great organizations abroad that I think we otherwise would have never known of. So organizations that operate as social enterprises, so women and men and communities abroad who see a need in their community. So the one I think of off the top of my head is a gentleman by the name of Alex in Colombia. And so he lives in an area of Cartagena, Colombia, that's not often populated or not often touristed just because it's a quote unquote bad neighborhood. For all the reasons why people think neighborhoods are bad. But he realizes the beauty in his neighborhood, the beauty of his community. And so he said, let me bring tourists here. I'll give them walking tours. They could see what we do here. And then inevitably the profits from these tours go in to fund a youth center for his community. And so for our students to see that and for him to be able to bridge those connections for our students, and then they could take it home for wherever they come from, whether it's Oakland, Atlanta, or wherever the students are based of, they could see that they can make that own change for their communities. But this is all possible because, you know, Alex has a presence on the internet. We found him. We're able to connect via social media, via, you know, emailing, going back and forth. And I think kind of looking at a broader network, we found him because we tapped into our own virtual network of folks that travel, of people that have been to Cartagena that can kind of help us find what organizations to work with. So I think that's been super valuable. And then I think the second point I was hoping to make kind of dovetails into this, in that our community is amazing, from our donors to our supporters. And the reason we exist is because they're, I guess, literally three, at this point, I want to say we have like 35-ish hundred individuals from around the world who support us, and they found us through the power of technology.
Yeah, and fun fact, if you Google, what is it, youth travel nonprofit, we're the first one that comes up, right? So we're using tech in a smart way to get people through search, so.
Exactly.
So you just talked about the ways that Flight as an organization is using tech. Talk to me about how students interact with technology on the trips and just as you've seen in their educational lives, I guess.
So I think tech is for the trips, and then kind of now in present day pandemic world, has kind of been a very positive thing. It's been really helpful to us. So on the trips, I think for our students, and I guess I'm just trying to think. I mean, aside from kind of like your typical, oh, they could post on social media and share with their communities, yeah, which I think can have a stigma, like, oh, you're not living in the moment. But I think the value for the communities that we serve is, for our students, they might be the first person in their family to go abroad, or their first person in their immediate like network to go abroad. And so to be able to like share that and share those experiences, and also share that it wasn't scary, or it doesn't have all the kind of negative connotations with, you know, going abroad and going to like a foreign country, you know.
And have you like heard good stories from the students about like, have they maybe traveled back to see, you know, see people in those locations or anything along those lines, or just stayed in touch generally?
Just stayed in touch generally. I think not yet. Maybe and give it a couple years and maybe that's going to happen. But I think, yeah, it's mostly been, you know, just keeping in contact via social media, which I think is really popular among the kids these days.
So I hear. I mean, that'll be really cool as well. Like when we start to see those, you know, global connections start to, you know, reemerge again, like down the line, like that'll be amazing. So thinking about one question we like to ask about, you know, tech on the call and stuff like that is, if you could build a tech product yourself and have it solve a specific problem, what would that be? And who would it solve a problem for? What would the problem be, I guess?
Huh, that's a good question. I think just because my head is always in, you know, how could we get students, especially young people, when they're in their really formative years, to connect with people that are different than them. And I think some type of tech product, and I know similar ones exist, where, you know, how can, you know, a group of, like a classroom of students in downtown LA connect with a group of students in downtown Oaxaca? Like, how and what does that look like? And how could we form like those kind of real, like we're talking now, like this is through the beauty of technology, but we have like, are actually having like a real conversation about like really interesting things. And how could we do that for our students in a way that also protects their privacy and keeps them safe? And at the same time, just really forging that divide of, you know, just, I think travel, and you, I'm sure you've experienced this, like, you know, we learn how similar we are, not different. And I think, how do we do that? And how do we use technology to do that? Maybe it's not just for students. Maybe it's for adults who just haven't had the ability to leave where, you know, where they've been born and raised, and just would like to know what it's like somewhere else.
How do we make sure, we talked about this on our last episode, but how do we make sure like that tech falls evenly across, you know, class lines and race lines and stuff like that? Like we're already seeing like, you know, these pods being created where parents are opting out of public schools, and then kids who don't have connectivity and devices are left behind. Like, I mean, working with, you know, low-income populations in urban districts, rural districts, like, how do you think we overcome that, I guess, moving forward?
That's a good question. I mean, I always say, like, I just would love to win the lottery and, like, have this unlimited source of funds. But I think it's a collective responsibility. I think nothing really powerful and impactful happens because of one person. I think it's the collective that has to really just advocate for that sense of equality, and also, you know, have it also come from the top down as well, you know, because you know, I'm sure there is some CEO of some tech company that has access to be able to just give a bunch of kids iPads or whatever it is. Right. And so I think it's really just kind of a multifaceted approach. And I think in the journey, at least my own, to kind of be more present and connected, I think the more we do that and not kind of get lost in, you know, things like just get lost in the internet space, but have like more intentional connections with people, I think that just organically happens.
Yep. Yep. So sort of like flip side of the question I asked you before. So this is a tech for good podcast, but we like to sometimes talk about tech for bad. What's like the most evil application of tech that you've seen out there that you've come across?
Evil. I like, it's like, I just, you know, you hear like the villain music in the superhero movie. Again, just viewing it from the lens of our students and our teachers and what they've experienced on the trip, you know, while one of our teachers heard feedback, and she's been bringing students abroad for multiple years. And so she realized that there is a very, even the students gave this feedback to her, which was there's a difference between when they're in a country and they have access, they can like have connectivity on their cell phones, like they're able to get a local SIM card versus when they're not. And for them, they realize like when they don't have that connectivity, they're so much more able to be present in that moment of like exploration and, you know, just to take a break from like whatever busyness is happening back home or on the internet. And so I think, you know, maybe evil is not this, you know, it's not like a demon, but it's more just like this innocuous like distraction that takes you away from the present moment, especially when you're in another country and really want to immerse yourself completely. It's hard to do that when, you know, you're looking at what your cousin baked for dinner, you know, like it just kind of throws off the whole like being in the, like feeling that you're actually in a completely different place.
Yeah. I mean, I think about some of my like favorite, you know, best travel days. And there were days where I just like was not on my phone. Like even last year before all the lockdown stuff happened, one of my favorite travel days was in Costa Rica. We took like four wheelers, like quads out into the jungle, bathed in the pool in front of a waterfall. I got home and then I like posted maybe a picture or a video, but I just remember feeling like this was an amazing day and I didn't need tech or connectivity, you know, to survive.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think, and you don't realize that till after the fact, like, oh, I haven't been on my phone all day. And it's like, you kind of like, once you kind of distance yourself from it for a little bit, you're like, you realize like how valuable that is. Like that time just looking at nature. And I think that's probably the biggest flip is like when you're in nature, like you realize how much you don't need to be in front of like some type of screen.
What about forward looking? Like obviously you're, you know, potentially launching trips, you know, this year into next year, depending on how safe things are and all the conditions, but like, how are you thinking about integrating tech into that process to like make the trips, you know, COVID safe or, you know, whatever, like what are you potentially bringing into your stack as it were to make the trip safe?
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I think really when we think about our trips pre-pandemic, I think, you know, having just access to connectivity for at least like our teacher and our chaperones, like to make sure that they're up to date with like the latest news and the latest like health concerns. But I think really in a the next wave of the pandemic where we could travel, I think it'll be even more vital in terms of just, I know in certain places you have to like register. So you like to certain websites that you get like immediate prompts if there's something happening. I know some countries do like contact tracing, like specifically through apps or on people's phones so they could just see who's where and leveraging that. But in terms of like using tech more heavily for our next trip, I mean, I think my thought is not necessarily pandemic related, but I feel like, you know, through our documentation and through how we tell the story of the trip, we could really share what life is like and how the pandemic has shaped different places that we travel to. Because I think, you know, I'm in Hawaii. I live not far from one of the busier tourist areas. And you could see for yourself, like, how it's changed, and maybe just leveraging that as a tool for how maybe even tourism is, you know, it's not a sustainable economy if it's what we're, and I know we talked about this before, but when countries and locations are solely dependent on it. And so, you know, using kind of that storytelling as an educational tool, because like you could read news stories about, you know, what this looks like or whatever, but to be able to see for yourself and be able to communicate that to others back home, I think is also going to be another powerful story as well.
Yeah. I saw a funny graphic meme the other day, I guess it was on Instagram, that was like, find someone who loves you like influencers love going to Tulum during a pandemic, right? But it's like such a tough thing too, because I have all these friends who are like, you know, amazing travel buddies and stuff like that. And they're all just like shooting down to, you know, Tulum or Puerto Escondido or different places in Mexico, because it's like the only place open. And it's like, and in one hand, they're sort of like, well, we're supporting the local economy. You know, as far as we know, we don't have COVID. We don't want to deal with the restrictions. And you're like, there's part of that that feels a little. And then, you know, there's also people there who are like super grateful to have the job and like to have the work. And it's just like, I don't know, like it's a weird ethical sort of, I mean, or is it? I don't know. What's your take on that?
It's hard because I think there's, you know, there's Band-Aids and then there's like actually healing the wound. And I feel like that is, you know, that's a Band-Aid, right? Because ultimately, and again, just witnessing from my like being in Hawaii and like having friends and family that, you know, are part of the tourism industry, I think having people visit is like a immediate fix, you know, but I think the long-term trajectory is like, you know, there has to be like a diversified economy. Tourism has to be developed in a sustainable way that if something like this happens, like the economy isn't solely dependent on people coming in and spending money. And especially for locals, because I think there's also a misconception that like they need, like people need these like tourists to come in. But like, if you look at any community, like there's so much talent and value that you don't want to lose just because the only industry is tourism.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I'm watching friends like IG stories and it's like literally they're at a dinner with like, you know, like a waiter with a mask on, like pouring shots in their mouth, in their open mouth. I'm like, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's just interesting, like where you draw your own lines and then where you see people that, you know, and you love and you care about, where they draw the lines or where they don't, you know, so that's tricky. Okay. Well, let's take it back to Flight's foundations for a second. So Flight like is kind of built on a foundation of, you know, someone who built their like sort of mini empire on technology to some extent. So can you like tell listeners a bit about like the foundation and Matt and all that stuff? Yeah.
Sure. So Matt is our founder, a co-founder, and he created Flight. Gosh, now it's this point, it's 6 years ago. But Matt is better known as Nomadic Matt, and he was probably one of the first people to start travel blogging and to like make a website and talk about budget travel tips and all of that stuff. And it's very interesting working with him because, you know, to see, you know, you Google like how to travel for cheap in Amsterdam, and then he ranks like number one on Google. But then to see kind of like the strategy behind that and like how strategic and how smart he is about all these things. And so I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think Flight exists because Matt was able to leverage technology, you know, as he was growing his business, as he was traveling. You know, he started the blog, I think, I don't know where, I want to say he was in Thailand when he started it, but he, you know, he was somewhere abroad and like, you know, used the power of the internet, the power of just connecting people to information to help, I want to say maybe thousands, tens of thousands of people travel. What is his tagline? Better, cheaper, and longer. And so, and because of that, when he founded Flight, I think he came to a point where his original belief was like, anyone can travel. You know, if you budget right, if you travel hack, all the things. But there came to a point where he was like, you know what, that's not true. Like, there's communities in our own country where even with all the best tips, all the best tools, travel hacking, budgeting, like, travel is still a bigger barrier for them to get to. There's bigger barriers for them to travel. And so he was like, I want to create equity and access so that students who live in, you know, rural Montana or students living in, you know, downtown Oakland also have the opportunity to travel like I did. And so that's how Flight, you know, was born 6 years ago. And that's how we like kind of continue to thrive as well.
And talk a little bit about, I'm curious, like, I was super interested to go to TravelCon for the first time. When was that? Like 20, was that 2019 maybe? 2018? Yeah, but talk a little bit about TravelCon and like that network of, you know, sort of travel bloggers and just like that whole community. It's just super interesting.
Yeah, that community, it's amazing to see people IRL in real life. For a lot of folks who are travel enthusiasts who like to, you know, read and consume all of like their content. You know, I think TravelCon is a great way for, it's essentially just like having that online community in real life. And so not just the folks that, you know, have been travel blogging, travel writing for decades, but people who are new to the industry and want to learn, okay, well, what is SEO? What, you know, how do I create, you know, really relevant content for the people? And, you know, I love how, Matt and the team and a lot of the folks in the community frame, it's like, you know, with content and with technology, it's often like, and I know Matt's not the person who first said this, it was someone else and I don't know who, but, and it's usually like, look at me, but you know, it's like kind of shifting that to learn from me. Like, what can I learn? What value can I provide to other people? And I think, that's an important lesson for anyone who's in the field already or looking to get into the field. And I think as like consumers, it's nice. It's a good feeling to know that, you know, it's not, you know, you're not kind of like getting sold all the time. Like people are actually, everyone's trying to provide people with value and things to do better, travel cheaper or travel better, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. It was such a joy like going to that conference. And now there's like a couple bloggers that I follow who, you know, like the Wandering Earl is one that like, I really like his content and think it, you know, just like enriches my life as a traveler as well. So anytime you can bring people together like that in that context where it's like, you know, there's a layer of tech, but there's also just like a passion, which is travel, and it's merged, like, yeah, it's just a really powerful space. So, yeah. Given the fact that you work at kind of the intersection of travel and, you know, youth education, and also I would argue tech in some way, like what's your prediction for all those spaces for 2021 and beyond? And, you know, with a specific lens of tech for good, like what do you see coming down the pike after all this?
In terms of the good I've seen that I think will only get better, I feel like there is something hugely valuable about online education and its ability to reach people who can't normally go to a classroom, you know, people who are living with a disability or even just location access. I was talking to one of my friends who's an educator here, and one of the districts that he serves, like, the kids have to, like, they don't really have, like, they're not close to a school. And so it's like, for them to physically get to school, it's just like an hour long, like hours long, you know, journey. And so to be able to, you know, have students be able to learn from wherever they are and have access to a multitude. I mean, granted, they're probably at this point just learning from their district or their immediate teachers, but imagine they could, you know, learn from a different educator from a different place, maybe, you know, in London, like how would that enrich, that would enrich their education so much. So I think there is a way for technology in 2021 to really make education better. I feel like there are definitely going to be pain points along the way. But I feel like it just, any creating access is key and to creating equality and equity. So I feel like that in the education space, in the travel space, especially for, I guess I'm thinking about our local tourism partners that are struggling to stay alive, like to be able to use technology to attract and re-attract their audience and their consumers and their customers, I think is going to be really important. And for us to be able to find a way to give them that, like their space and have people find them. I think that's like just creating more of that access and equity, I think is going to be key. And I hope and I believe it'll happen more in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah. I've seen some like positive, but also some like bleak predictions about, like, you know, again, like rich kids who have access to international education and curriculum, and then kids who don't, you know, like there are kids who they're going to McDonald's, you know, to like get Wi-Fi access and sitting outside. So like, how do we, and it's just, it's a shame because it seems like with COVID and like everything just falls along those same lines of like stratified, like race, class, but the potential is there, like you said, you know? So it's just kind of like, how do we use it to break through? I mean, it's part of the reason we named the podcast what it is, because it's like, we're going to need more than just like the tech, you know, like you said, like we need more equity. We need more, you know, communal sort of spirit, because it's not, we're not going to techify it and just figure it out with hardware, you know? So, yeah.
That, I mean, I think it just lends itself to the name of your company. Like, you just need an actual literal human in front of you to like, one, create connection, to like maximize impact, to create an authentic connection. Yeah. And I think that's like super, yeah, that's something that tech can't really fill that gap.
Yeah, no, the name was intentional because we were trying to like remind people like, all right, like we've got all these really cool tools and we're doing all this SEO fancy, you know, muckety muck stuff, but like, we're just people, you know? So every time you say our name, it's going to remind you of that. So yeah. Another question we like to ask is like, in terms of tech for good, we try to think of it as, all of us are trying to do this on some level, I guess, but specifically in the tech for good, you see a lot of people trying to balance like a life and a career, you know, that balances purpose and profit. We live in a capitalist system. We all got to make money to survive, but you also want to live like fulfilling lives. So like, I see you as someone who's done, I think, a pretty good job of that. And I'd be curious, like, what's worked well for you, and not advice, because I'm trying to get away from advice. Like what has worked well for Carmela and in terms of balancing profit and purpose in your life?
Ooh, I love that question. So I think it's manifold, my answer. I think part of it is just the journey to realize like what I'm good at, and then also like where there is a need in society for that. And then also like what I care about, you know, it's like all that three, I don't know. I feel like there's like different ways, like different folks have kind of named this different things. But, for me, for example, like I know that I've always been good at math. Like I fit that very, very stereotypical Asian stereotype of like, I'm just really good at math, you know? And like, I used to like not want to feed into that, but it's like, I own it. Like I was in the math league in high school, you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff. But I think because of that, like but then at the same time, like I come from a family of educators, and I knew that like, I've always wanted to give back or to have some type of role helping. And like, I think that's another thing, like people always want to help and do good in their careers, but like, you don't have to, I'm trying to think of the most stereotypical thing, like quit your job and like live amongst, you know, the native people in a certain country to have an impact. It's like, you have talents, you have skills. And I think, I eventually learned that, you know, and I think in terms of like finding that balance, like for me, it's, you know, I loved travel and I love education, and like flight was the perfect marriage of that. But as anyone who's worked for like a young or any nonprofit knows, like this is, it's not a job you take to like pay the bills, or not a job you take to like kind of be able to live a lucrative life. And so I think because of that, like, I've found also my way into consulting. And so I just like, you know, I have a bunch of clients and I do like data analytics for them. And I'm like, wow, this is actually really fun too. And like, I could actually also like make a decent amount of money from this. And then we'll also be able to do flight. So it's like, to be able to realize, like, you don't have to have like one thing. Like, I think that's probably a misconception. You know, when you're young, you people, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's usually one answer, but it's like, we're all multifaceted people. Like, you don't have to do one thing.
Well, I think that's all the questions I had for you. Is there anything you want to shout out on the flight side of things, like any announcements, or, you know, point people to a specific site, or just any calls to action for listeners?
So typically, right, like we would be, I would be announcing some type of crazy awesome trip that we're doing. But because of the pandemic, our students are safely at home doing some virtual curriculum. But for folks that want to follow our work, we are on, we have our website is takeflight.org, and that's FLYTE. And then we're also on all the social media platforms under Take Flight, FLYTE. And yeah, I'm always happy to connect with folks in the travel and education space. Like my board, all of our donors will tell you that I will talk to anyone and everyone who wants to talk about student travel, because I like to, you know, I just like to practice what I preach in terms of just really valuing that human connection and wanting that for our students. And so I do my best to do that myself. So happy to just chat with anyone either in this space or wanting to get into this space and get more kids out to the world.
Yeah. Well, we're super grateful to have you on, because I think like flight is just, yeah, again, biased board member, but like just at a really cool intersection of travel and tech and, you know, like youth education. And I immediately thought of you all as, you know, as a guest of you specifically. Yeah, just grateful for your time. So thanks for jumping on the pod.
Always grateful to talk to you.
Well, everyone, this has been Tech Can't Save Us, episode 2 with Carmela Rizuma from Flight. And have a great day.